Probably more often than we'd like to admit, we find ourselves in a situation where we feel like God is waiting to do something. That's what I want to talk about tonight is, let me see if this is on and going to work. All right, technological success. That is a minor miracle. With Noah, Noah was 500 years when his oldest son was born, and we know that God had said, my spirit would not always strive with man. I think it says that the days of his life will be 120 years, and there's some discussion about what that means, but Noah had a tremendous advance warning about the coming of the flood, and perhaps 120 years that God waited before he sent the flood, after he told Noah what he was going to be doing. With Abraham, God waited to give him a son. And we've talked about this, pastors talked about this in morning messages lately. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And we find out several chapters later that Abraham was 100 years when Isaac was born. You know, Abraham spent a lot of time while it seemed that God was waiting to do something. And God had told Abraham in Genesis 15:1 that his descendants would be afflicted for 400 years. For that 400 years, Jews were afflicted a good part of that time, and they had to wait for God to do something. James 5:17 and 18 tells us that Elijah was a man just like you and I, and he prayed and it didn't rain, and for 3.5 years the nation of Israel didn't have rain. Until he prayed again. And I'm sure there was some godly people. God has always had his remnant. I'm sure there was some godly people who suffered while they waited for God to send them the rain. What about you? What about me? Does it feel like God is waiting to do something for you? Does it feel like you're just kind of hanging in there, kind of, you know, maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's a something in relationships. Maybe it's a loved one who needs to come to know Christ. But you're just, you know, you're waiting for God. Or it feels like maybe God is waiting in order to do something. What can you do and what should you do while you wait? You know, it's pretty dangerous for somebody to hang a flag over the clock in a Baptist auditorium. That is very, very risky. What do you do while you wait? Well, I have several things I want to look at this evening that we need to keep doing. If you're in a situation where you feel like God is waiting to do something, there are some things that we need to be doing even while it seems like nothing's going on. To start with, I'd like to suggest that we keep believing in God and His promises. I love Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith." What does that mean? What does it mean that they died in faith? Well, one thing I think it means to me is that as these saints of old in this chapter that are rehearsed for us, as they breathed their last breath, they still trusted in the promises of God. They never quit doing that. And to me, one of the themes of the book of Hebrews is that it's always too soon to quit. These all died in faith. They drew their last breath still trusting God, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So we need to keep believing in God and in His promises. We need to keep worshiping. Doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter how long you've been waiting for something. It doesn't matter how long it seems like God has been not doing what you need Him to do. And that's only a perception on our side. That's not really the way God works. But we need to keep worshiping, because it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. God is still God, and His character never changes. Your attitude, your perspective, your thoughts, your heart may be changed, but God's character doesn't change with your circumstances. Malachi 3:6 says, "I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you're not consumed, O sons of Jacob." Speaking to a rebellious, sinful nation, the suggestion is that if God changed, they were at risk of judgment. But God doesn't change. God is God, and because of that, we need to keep worshiping. All right. Every good, James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God never changes. Again, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what our health is. It doesn't matter what our finances are. It doesn't matter how strained the relationships are. It doesn't matter what's going on all around us in the world. God doesn't change. And because God is God, He is worthy of our worship. And if you feel like you're waiting for God to do something, one of the things we need to be doing while we're waiting is worship God. And that should never change. Hebrews 1:11, they will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up and they will be changed, but you are the same. Your years will not fail. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. Our attitudes change, our focus changes, our perspective changes, our circumstances change. But in the midst of all of it, we need to continue to bow down and worship God. He is the unchanging one. We also need to keep worshiping not only because God is the unchanging one, but because God is good. It does not matter what's going on in our lives. It doesn't matter how raw of a deal it seems like we're getting. It doesn't matter how long it seems like things are going on and it seems like God isn't doing anything. God is good. Period. Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Psalm 119:68, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Keep worshiping. Not only is God the unchanging one, He never changes. Not only is God good, but I think we also need to keep worshiping because He's not like us. That's a good thing. We don't understand what's going on in our lives necessarily. We don't understand the bigger picture. We don't understand all that God is doing while it seems like we're simply waiting. And I want to keep saying that it seems like we're waiting for God to do something, but that's a perspective. God's doing things. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Sometimes in the midst of our troubles, we feel like we've got it all figured out what the right answer should be and what needs to be done to get us out of the mess we're in. Two of my favorite verses, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. That is, I remember them often, and every time I remember them, they remind me that I haven't got it figured out yet, and I never will. So, in those times where it seems like God isn't doing anything, you've got a need, you've got a problem, you've got a burden, there's something that needs to happen, and it seems like God isn't doing anything, it seems like you're just waiting for God. Number one, keep on worshiping. Worship God because He is God. He's the unchanging one. He is good. And you know, He's not like us. He's got a plan and a purpose. He's working out. He sees things differently than we see them. And we need to simply worship Him because He is God. David said, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. And I think what David is saying there, in fact, who would read Psalm 34:1? I know at the beginning of Psalm 34 there is the ascription of what the psalm is for. Somebody have your Bible and would quickly turn to Psalm 34:1 and read what comes before, I will bless the Lord at all times. David had to pretend to be mad because of the circumstances he was in, and he wasn't in a particularly good situation. What does he say? Doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Doesn't matter the enemies I have all around me. I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Job, chapter 1, what's going on in Job's life? He's lost everything. And what does he say? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Next time we feel like things aren't going our way, next time we feel like God's dragging his heels at answering our prayer, next time we feel like it's just taking too long and maybe God's forgotten about you, remember David. Remember Job. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. No matter what the circumstances, blessed be the name of the Lord. In addition to keep believing, keep worshiping, we need to keep thanking. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, according to these two verses, at what point, when it seems like things aren't going the way they ought to be going, and when it seems like God isn't answering quite quickly enough, at what point is okay to quit being thankful? It ain't. Never gets there. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. In Hebrews 13:15, therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. So again, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter how long we've been facing the particular trial we have. It doesn't matter how long it seems like it's taking God to answer the prayer. We need to be thanking Him. In everything, give thanks. And then, along the same lines as that, we need to not only keep believing and worshiping, and thanking. We need to keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Scripture is consistently telling us that we need to be praying, 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 praying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Not just for the first day or the first week or the first month or the first year. But, you know, that gets back to thanksgiving as well. But let your requests be made known unto God. Pray. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we need to keep believing. Keep worshiping, keep thanking, keep praying. Keep rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Sometimes a simple statement like that is very powerful in that there's not a whole lot of loopholes, not a whole lot of exceptions, not a whole lot of, you know, well, but in this situation, rejoice always. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy. Rejoice when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. What are we supposed to do when we face trials, trials that may go on for months and months and months and sometimes years? What are we supposed to do when it seems like God is delaying his answers for us? Count it all joy. The emphasis of the verse in Greek is all joy. It's not just, you know, something tolerable, not just something we can manage to somehow get through. First Peter 3:6, I've condensed it a little bit. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In this ye greatly rejoice. What do we rejoice in? We rejoice in what God's done in our lives. Though now for a while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Because of what God has done in our lives and through Jesus Christ, we need to be rejoicing people, even if, you know, for a time, we're going through them some things that are not exactly what we would like to be doing. Something else we need to keep on doing is we need to keep looking up. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. When we're focusing on the problem or the need or the concern, and we're focusing on how long this thing has been going on and how it seems like God isn't answering, what are we doing? We're setting our mind on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2 tells us to set our mind on things above. If then you were raised with Christ, if you're a believer, since you've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. Keep looking up. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at the need. Don't look at the sickness. Don't focus on the problem. Don't concentrate your attention on what isn't happening. Seek those things that are above. Set your mind on things above. Hebrews 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. How did these Old Testament saints that all as they breathed their last breath, continued to believe in God and trust in His promises. How did they do that? Well, they had their hearts set on a better country, that is, a heavenly country. They kept looking up. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Christ is coming back for us. And He may happen to come back for us while we're in the middle of grumbling about how it seems like He hasn't answered our prayers. Well, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? It'd be worse than that. It'd be shameful. Hopefully, when Christ comes back again, our first thought isn't going to be, "Phew, that's over." Hopefully, we're going to be more focused on Christ, worshiping Him. Why does God sometimes wait to answer? Well, I think God has a divine timetable. 1 Peter 3 tells us that the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. God didn't intervene and snap His holy fingers and create an ark. He told Noah to build the ark, and God waited while there were some things going on to prepare for what He was going to do, to prepare for the flood. Sometimes God's timetable isn't our timetable because there's other things that are going on to prepare for what He's going to do. I'm sure you've all heard multiple messages around the Christmas season on the fullness of time and how the Roman Empire and the Greek culture and the Greek language and everything were just the perfect setting for Christ to be born in and for His death and then for the spread of the gospel and everything. But that was God's time. It was God's divine timetable for Christ to come. As far as the Jews being in captivity in Egypt and they're being afflicted for 400 years, but in the fourth generation they shall return, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. God is letting, sometimes God lets sinful man go to a certain extent before he does something to stop them. And the point of all of these is that God has a timetable. He may be doing things in heaven. He may be doing things on earth. He may be doing things in you. He may be doing things in the circumstances around you. But God has a divine timetable for where He does His work. And we need to be mindful of that and not kicking and screaming and arguing with Him about His timetable and thinking that we know what better. After all, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, His thoughts aren't our thoughts, and His ways aren't our ways. Why does God sometimes wait to answer? Well, to bring growth. James 1, 4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. One of the reasons that God sends us through trials, and those trials may endure for a long time, they may last, they may be very grievous and burdensome, and it might seem like God isn't doing what we want Him to do, but sometimes He takes us through those in order that He might cause us to grow. We might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. To learn to live in His power. Paul was afflicted with some physical problem for an extended period of time, And he begged God to take it away. And God said no. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul's response, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sometimes God seems to be delaying his answer because he wants us to learn to live in his power and not our own. Missed one. Can we go back one, please, Andrew? Why does God wait to answer sometimes to bring greater worship? That the genuineness of your faith, again, it's always too soon to quit believing. We need to keep believing and trusting in his promises. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think that's telling us that one of the reasons that God takes us through these times where we're going through some suffering, we're going through some trials, where things aren't going the way we want them to, that our faith may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, and this is what we often go to first sometimes, but I don't think it's necessarily true, sometimes God waits to answer because he's correcting us. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We do need to keep that in mind, and we need to be asking and searching and seeking to see if there's something that we need to get right with him while we're going through these things and while we're seemingly waiting for him to answer. While you're waiting, don't forget the one upon whom you wait. Honor him. Believe his promises. Worship him. Pray. Be thankful. Rejoice. Keep looking up. No matter what it seems like is going on, and no matter how long it seems like it's going on, honor the one that you claim to be waiting upon. Don't abandon him. Don't give up on him. Don't feel like it's not worth it. It's always too soon to quit. All right, we do want to take some time for some prayer requests and prayer.